We got a legend on the phone right now. A true legend. The outlaw himself. Waylon Jennings. Hi, Waylon.
What's going on?
How are you, buddy?
I'm hanging in there. How about you?
I'm doing okay. Hey, yeah.
First thing I want to ask you, Waylon, is it okay if I call you Waltasha?
Whatever you want to call me. It don't matter. I got 38 nicknames.
And at some point during the interview, would you give us a whoop-whoop?
You know, I'll give you a good one then.
All right.
If you ever find out what that really means, you might not want it on the air.
Well, maybe I would.
Yeah, you might. You sound like a rotten person, just
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, congratulations, first of all, on one hell of a kick-ass CD, Closing It on the Fire. This is great stuff.
I had a great time doing that. Me and the band, we got in there and made everybody leave us alone. And play some pretty good music, I think.
You know, I'll tell you, and Johnny Cash discovered this a few years back, but you are becoming, especially with the younger crowd, the rock and rollers, too, one of the ultra-cool guys in music right now.
You know what? I'm just having a good time. That's just what I'm trying to do. If it's not a good time, I'll usually leave.
Well, we know all about that.
Yeah.
I want to hear it from the horse's mouth, man. I mean, first of all, I can't blame you.
Especially, I mean, 45 minutes of Dr. Laura is too much for anybody.
Yeah, oh, Lord, she drives me crazy.
Just yakety,
she couldn't psychoanalyze my little toes. And if she did, she'd get it wrong. But she's
ahead.
All right. I shouldn't do that. But I'll tell you the thing. They said, you know, that she was going to be on 6 to 8 minutes and she'd be off, you know, and they wanted me on a long time because they had a bunch of questions. They kept me on the phone for 45 minutes getting questions, you know, asking things that we could talk about. And I want to accommodate in any way I can. Now, the thing was, I realized after a while, there's about 43 minutes in a one-hour show, you know?
Mm-hmm. With the commercials and all that, sure.
And, they consider it. They say, you're going to be on 45. That means you're going to be on about 30 minutes. Well, I waited till it was about 30 minutes into the show, and I said, you got about 8 to 10 more minutes, and I'm out of here. Well, I gave them plenty of warning, and they kept on, and so I left, you know, and it got to be like Keystone Cops there because we were leaving, and one of the producers was running after us on foot.
You're kidding.
In the car. And then they called the poor old boy that was the limousine driver from CBS and said, and ordered him. He said, I've been ordered to bring you back. And to bring Mr. Jennings back, and I said, don't even think about it. You know, you just take me on to the hotel.
They got
kind of mad at me, but you know what? If it happened again like that, I waited 30 minutes, and then I did leave. And I wasn't trying to be smart or anything. I just I knew that it wasn't going to be a good interview, and I knew I wasn't in the right mood to do it.
And I guess the limo driver decided it was safer to take his chances with CBS than with
you.
I
think he did. I didn't look too happy.
Waylon, how you feeling? I mean,
I'm feeling pretty good. You know, the only thing about that, I guess I finally learned one more time that I can turn left. No, I'm feeling pretty good. You know, I had a very minor stroke, but I'd hate to have a major one.
Man, what happened with the minor stroke? I mean, how do you know you're having a stroke?
You know what? It was painless. It was really painless, but I actually fell. And I was trying to get back up, and my leg had gone out. And then about 3 or 4 hours later, my arm went, you know. But what it was some plaque. It could have happened to a monkey.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you wish it had been a monkey. But what had happened is plaque came off into my bloodstream and went in and lodged in my brain. But you know what? It was barely bigger than head of a pin, you know?
Yeah.
And that shows everybody the importance of flossing.
You have to take care of yourself.
You got to floss, though.
Yeah, you got to floss that plaque away.
Oh, yeah. Plaque. I'm going to have to get you guys some books. I can see right now this ain't going to work.
I got to ask you also, how's your buddy Johnny Cash doing? When news came about his circumstance, it was a day before he was supposed to come on the show and promote his book, and I really want to know how he's doing.
You know what? John's doing good. He was up and walking around. He was in the hospital again just this week, but he's up walking around giving everybody a problem. So when he's doing that, he's doing all right, you know.
You know,
me and him both kind of ran it to the wall all of our life.
Sure.
And, when we get in the hospital, There's a, I don't. I try to be as nice as I can because it's nobody's fault but mine.
I have to ask you because I saw it, the Ralph Emery special that you did not too long ago really made the hair stand up on the back of my neck when you were telling, I mean, cocaine almost destroyed your life.
Right.
And Ralph Emery went and asked you point blank, when did it come down to you? It was either the drugs or life. And I don't know if you can retell that story, but it was an incredible moment and an incredible story.
The reason I quit, you know, I'd been doing cocaine for, I don't know, 20 years, you know, and doing drugs for 20 years. But I was going to just kind of lighten up for a little bit and get back on my feet. I'd just wrecked my health and everything. And so I went in and leased a house in Arizona, took my family, my wife, Jesse, and my boy, Shooter, and their housekeeper and everything, and went out there and stayed for a month. It took me about 3 weeks to get it out of my system, all the pain and all the non-sleeping and what I call the frenzies where you're just shaking all the time.
Sure.
Well, and I finally got off of it, and I looked around and saw the look on Jesse's face. I mean, Jesse's a beautiful woman, but she had that helpless, hopeless look, you know, because I had told her, I said, I'm only going to clean up for a month, and I'll probably be on drugs the rest of my life, and that was wonderful to look forward to. And I was sitting at a table in there one morning, and my little son, Shooter, was about 5 years old. He came in and put his arm around my arm and sat there and colored for an hour, and he had never been able to do that because his attention span was a lot. He knew something was wrong with me, but he didn't know what. And his attention span was so much longer than mine, but as I looked at Jesse and thought about him, one morning early, I thought about it for several days before I went in and I said, you know, I realized, you know, my big comeback, people would say, well, if you keep doing that, you're going to kill yourself. And your big comeback, well, it's my life. I'll do what I want to. But that's all right if you're going to live in a cave. But if you're going to be around people who care about you, you don't have the right to destroy their lives. So I told Jesse, I said, you know, I've always said I'm going to stop. And that meant I would start again, but I'm going to quit. That's it. I'm going to do it again. And I hadn't bothered. You know, I really don't want to do it again. I can honestly say I did that.
Yeah.
Didn't do much of it. I got tired of it.
So you hear from a lot of people that have used cocaine or drugs that it's a day-to-day thing and never leaves their mind. So it's not a daily battle for you.
Oh, I have no problem with that. You know, I can't handle the AA thing where they tell you, hello, I'm Waylon Jennings and I'm a drug addict and I'm an alcoholic. I am not anymore. I used to be. And I was a bad one. I mean, $1,500 a day.
Woo!
And I never did a little bit of nothing in my entire life. And but you know, I have a little trouble with that. I never went to meetings, I never went to a treatment center. I knew they made you make your own bed, and I could have been there all day long because I've never been able to do things like that. But, you know, the thing is, it's like another person. The best way I can describe getting off of drugs, it's like someone you love dearly, someone you have more fun with than you ever had in your life, and someone you can blame everything bad that you do, you can blame it on them. And that good buddy and that good friend of yours dies when you quit drugs. It dies. But you know that any time that you want to bring that person back alive, which is still you know, all you have to do is do drugs again. And so there's your battle. There's your addiction. You know, you have the physical addiction, but you also have a terrible mental addiction. But you just got to... You know what I always said about it when I would have the urge to do something? It lasts about seven seconds, and you can get it off your mind.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, one thing on the new CD that's great is you have an extra track at the end of the CD where you pretty much tell your fans what you were thinking when you did this CD. One great story comes right at the end of it where you talk about the preacher that decided to base his sermon on Luckenbach, Texas.
Yeah, and I still got that tape. That's one of my favorite things in the world, where he was sitting there talking, and he said, you know, he used Luckenbach as a basis for his sermon that morning. And he would recite a little of it, and he said, you know, it was my hit record and that he liked my singing. And he got on down in there, and in a minute he stopped and said, did you hear what the prophet Waylon said? And he said, and I almost wrecked the car, the little car. Because it wasn't, but he said he wanted to go back to the basics. And in a minute he said, wow, it's funny how prophets show up in strange places. I can imagine, though, about 2 weeks later is when they tried to, you know, do a cocaine bust on me, and I was in every newspaper in the country. I bet his deacons and elders took him back in the room and said, we won't talk to you about your prophets now.
Hey, Waylon, when we, and I'm sorry, this it seems like time flies when we're having fun here, but when we come back after the break, we're going to play one from the new CD, right. The Blues Don't Care. Tell me about that song.
You know, I wrote that with Gary Nicholson. That's the first time I ever wrote a song like that. It is completely away from what I ever wrote, you know, but I really got into it and had a good time with it, and we wrote that one day at my house. Gary Nicholson is one of the great writers and great blues pickers, too, you know.
And people should also know on this CD, you've got a hell of a lot of guest stars.
Oh, like a who's who of rock and country.
I've never done that, and I thought it was about time I had.
I'll tell you, you got some great people on this
yeah,
CD.
When I
sounds
grow
great.
When I grow up, I'm going to be just like Sheryl Crow.
Sheryl Crow, Sting
yeah,
is on
nice.
This thing. Travis Tritt's on here. Also, you did. You took a song from Mick Jagger and Keith Richards.
Yeah, I could have done that better. I didn't. That was the one I was disappointed in.
Really?
In the entire album. And I got to, you know what? My hero when I was growing up was Carl Smith. And I have got to see him one time in Lubbock, and I went there, and I tried to comb my hair like him, talk like him, and sing like him and everything. Now Carl's my best friend. I don't know many people that get to have a hero and grow up to have him be his best friend, you know. He's just as ornery as he ever was, and we go, you know, he's a great cutting horse rider. And got a great cutting horse, Jelly Bean. And of course, Goldie Hill is beautiful still. That don't hurt him none.
You know, one thing that I've always wanted to ask you about on the album WW2, where you did the song "Write Your Own Songs." What kind of a reception did that earn you next time you went into the record company?
They didn't mess with us very much.
Well,
they just didn't want us to tell everybody everything we knew.
Waylon, I want to thank you so much for coming on and spending a little time with us.
Thank you.
Can I put you on hold because I want to talk to you a little bit off the air?
You got it.
All right. Thank you, buddy. Hold on. Waylon Jennings, man.
And coming up, we'll spin a track off the new CD.
We're going to
do The Blues Don't Care.
Yeah, we're going to do that next on 96K Rock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.